In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The whole theme of this convention is what? Freedom in Christ. Now, yesterday the lecture was on freedom. Today I want to speak to you about, well, so what? Okay, you heard Sayyid Abdul Muslim's lecture yesterday. About freedom, that you are free, that you're free in Christ, and that you're free indeed, and that you're absolutely free, that you're free when you're free from sin, and you're free from the burden of sin, and you're free from the bondage of sin, all of that. Okay, you know that. Now, what way do we go from there? The problem with spiritual life is sometimes we may learn things, but we don't understand them. Because yes, Sayyidina's lecture was wonderful yesterday, and you can just walk away from that. But where does it take you? How does it help you? How does being free help you out? Who can tell me? I'm going to take some questions here. How can being free help you? Anyway. Sorry?
You learn
from your mistakes. You learn from your mistakes because you're no longer under the bondage of sin. Okay. Somebody else. Come on, someone up here. You know you can get a second chance. All right. What else? Okay, when you're enslaved by sin and you come out of that slavery, you start to feel the benefits of that freedom. Alright, what else? Okay, do you have imaginations? Yes, good. Especially during science class. When the teacher goes off on a tangent and you wander off into the wrong way. Okay, let's give you a little scenario and tell me what you come out of it. Alright, I want to do a little role play. I need two volunteers. One? Okay, there's one. Two? Right, there's two. Yeah. Okay. Her name is? Marianne. And?
Dina.
Dina.
Thank you.
Dina, Marianne, give me my hand. Okay, now I want you, excuse us for a minute.
Like a cartoon, like in the same a right angle. So like try to avoid less move, but not less. Yeah, okay,
like
the title shot. No, okay. I'm doing the title shot. Yeah, I'll give you 2 minutes.
Okay,
so
these two look crazy because they're going to fall amongst themselves. Bear in mind when you're going to see this, and it's going to be a big surprise to me if it is to you, because I don't know what they're doing. Bear in mind when you see this that we are talking about bondage, and we are talking about breaking free from that bondage, from the burdens, from the chains of sin. Yeah. and gentlemen, introducing to you a special Wilsana Convention production by Dina Amarian. Give him a hand. As simple as that was, it demonstrates exactly the point I want to get through to you. What are your impressions of what just happened? Give me main points. What just happened? If you really want to do something, you can achieve it. What else? What else? If you want, and I have typed the hole, you can get out. Now, if you remember over here, Dina was holding Dorian captive. Shiva, with a struggle, Marianne broke free. What does that make Marianne? A survivor. What does that make, Marianne? Come on. What was happening? What was happening between them? She's free now. What was happening between them? There was what? There was a struggle, there was a fight. When there's a struggle and there's a fight, did one of the parties end up being, being what of the other party? Being, when you have two parties in a conflict and one wins, what is that one? The one is? Winner, what's on the word for winner? Victorious. Victorious. The thing that freedom leads us to after all of this is victory. It is being victorious. And sometimes, often, we forget the glory of the race. I'm going to speak to you quite honestly. You know that with a lot of young people, one of the greatest problems they have is their self-appraisal, their self-image, their self-confidence. Especially when we sin. When we sin, regardless of what we do on the surface, regardless of how much of a fuss we put up, regardless of what attitude we bring forth, our self-image changes. I tell a little story about one of the young lady I met during my travels at one of the conventions. And her mother was complaining that she had a very, very bad attitude. She was very mischievous, very disrespectful, and she changed very suddenly because she was a good-natured young lady. She switched suddenly. And just because of the experience of service, I had a talk with this young lady, and I discovered that there was a reason, because anything that has to have a reason. And the reason quite simply was that she was involved with a guy, and she was very young. He was a little bit older, and she's quite impressionable. She's very good-natured and well-intentioned, but very naive. And one thing led to another, and she, within the relationship, they got into a physical relationship, and she lost her virginity. And she couldn't forgive herself. She felt that she had fallen into such a sin that she couldn't forgive herself. And as a result, she developed an attitude. She became very hostile, very, very disrespectful. But that's not what was about. She would pull away from her mother. And again, when I pushed her a little bit, I understand why. Wow, what a wonderful relationship. In these situations, what happens is the person, this young lady, this girl, this child, starts to feel that because she has sinned, that she is no longer worthy of the love of those around her. I mean, she doesn't have her own love, she doesn't respect herself. So why should anybody else respect her? Why should anybody else love her? Why should anybody else forgive her? And she was definitely under that bondage of sin. She was chained. She was burdened. She, as soon as she sat down, I said, listen, I think the scenario is this. This and that happened. And she didn't respond. And she went, yes. I said, are you feeling this and that? And she broke down and she cried. That's exactly how she felt. No matter how much we try to numb our consciences, we know the truth. We are affected by the truth. You are all sons and daughters of God. You've been brought up in Christian families. You have lived by Christian principles. You know the truth. And that does not make you absolutely invincible against sin. Because regardless of all of that, we sin. We fall, we make mistakes. And sometimes they make mistakes, but we make mistakes. After I sat with this young girl, I took everything she said as a confession. And I prayed the absolution for her. And she understood. Obviously, she couldn't speak to her local priest because she was his little girl and he wouldn't, in her mind, understand. Although that's not true, because fathers of confession are used to hearing these things, and they don't judge, they then help. So I took her confession and I prayed the absolution for her, and I met her the following day, and she was a different person. She was smiling, she was relaxed, she was with her mother hand in hand for the whole time. And it was wonderful to see the transition. Because she was no longer under bondage. She was free, and she was free indeed. But more importantly, she was victorious over the enemy that had her captive. Because Satan will do that to her. He'll say, oh, what are you talking about? You're going to church. How can you go and stand in the church? How can you stand? Look at all these people. And people will turn and say, everyone's a hypocrite. Let's look underneath that. Look at all these people around you. They probably haven't done what you've done. They probably are living good lives. How can you stand in the midst of all these people? And Satan will come into you from a very righteous point of view. Because he'll make you think that you're doing the right thing. And he will pull you further and further and further away until you are completely isolated. The next step is, well, you know, I can't go to church, I'm not worthy, but I'll just pray at home. The next step is, how can you stand before God? Don't you know what you've done? Then you think, well, I've got to stop. How can you stop if you've already messed up? What's to stop? You're already sinful. How can you go back? That's it, you're destined to this life. You're going to stay sinful and defiled for the rest of your life. And it's not just sexual sins, it's any sins. It's things that we do. It's experimenting with drugs, it's experimenting with relationships, alcohol, stealing, being disrespectful, unfaithful, all of these things. Obviously, the bigger sins have a much greater effect on us. And he will drag you further and further and further. But don't buy into that. Satan is a liar. Satan is a cheat. Satan is the embodiment of lying, of deception. And he wants to deceive you because he doesn't want you anywhere near God. He doesn't want you to be with God. He doesn't want you to remember that God's going to forgive you. He doesn't want you to remember that through the sacrament of confession and through the sacrament of the Eucharist, through the washing of his blood on the cross initially, and through his blood that is through communion, every time you have communion, that you are washed of those sins if you repent and if you confess. He doesn't want you to remember that. He wants you to be further and further and further under this huge heap of sin and guilt so that you can't get up and you can't walk away, because he wants you in captivity. He wants you in captivity. He doesn't want you to feel free. He doesn't want you to feel free indeed. He wants to make you feel bad. He wants to make you think that, I can't go back. How can I go back? Think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, after he made such a mess of his life, such a mess, he took his father's money, he squandered it, he lost it, he lived in immorality, he lived in estrangement, in a foreign land, in exile, in famine, ended up feeding somebody's pigs. Whereas he was living in his father's house as the prince. And he thought, and he said, well, I can't go back and ask my father to forgive me. So what I'll do is I'll go back and I will tell him that all I want to do is be your servant. Take me home, your mad servant. I don't want anything else. I don't deserve anything else. But what did his father do? He ran out, he fell on his neck, he embraced him, he gave him the gown, the sandals, the ring, the fattened calf, the celebration, for he was dead and he is now alive. He was lost and he was found. But the prodigal son, to reach that level, first of all decided to go back. And by deciding to go back, he became victorious over the position he was in. One of the greatest things that cripples young people, and especially young people at your age, is the feeling that you have sinned, the feeling that you have made mistakes, and the feeling that there is no solution. Thankfully, God's perception of us and God's view of us is much different to our own. We can sometimes be much more harsh on ourselves than God does. We can go back. Whatever you have done, you can go back. There is nothing that cannot be forgiven. There is nothing that you cannot become victorious over. We don't want to walk for the rest of our lives banging our heads, faces to the ground, feeling embarrassed, feeling weak. Because when we feel weak, that is when Satan takes advantage of us even more. Because he knows we're down. It's like being bullied by someone. If you put up with it for a long time, if someone comes up and victimizes you, and you stand there and you take it for long enough, you no longer have any power, you no longer have strength. And Satan victimizes, Satan bullies us. Satan pushes us around because we let him. Imagine someone who has a big brother, maybe big brother, okay? And victimized by some little kid at school. And he decides not to tell his brother, leave him at home. Why should I get somebody else involved? Let me take care of this. And you get beaten up every day, you get abused every day, you get insulted every day, you become weaker and weaker every day. Then one day, you decide to bring your big brother in. And this kid heads for the hills. He's gone. He runs. Why? Because he can't do anything. Now, we don't just have a big brother. We have a big dad. We have a big father. Our Heavenly Father is bigger and stronger and more powerful than anyone or anything else in the world. Take Him into the battle with you. Become victorious in Him. As long as we live within our own shell, within ourselves, we'll remain weak. The only way for strength is to follow what St. Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why? Because Christ is invincible. Christ is all-powerful. Christ is almighty. Christ can overcome all things. And that's why he says again, in Christ I can do all things. Don't feel weakened. Don't ever feel weakened. Don't ever feel defeated. In the prayer of thanksgiving every day, when you open it up, and thankfully in our church, every liturgical prayer, every common prayer, even our Agbaya prayers start with the prayer of thanksgiving. And within it, we read that He has given us the authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and all hostile forces, all forces of the enemy. Through Him. He's the one who strengthens us. You also don't want to walk around being very pompous and proud, because then you get into trouble. Oh yeah, well, my dad, you can't touch him because he's my dad and he's strong. You sound very childish at the end. And then you realize that, hey, your dad's not really there because you're going to take him with you. Then it's you who starts to run. But when you know and you're focused and you know that your strength is in Him, and your forgiveness is in Him, and your victory is in Him, then you know you can overcome all things. Don't feel defeated ever. Every day in your life is a new day. It's a new start. No matter what you think you've done, no matter how bad you think it's been, no matter how defeated you feel, no matter how much you feel in bondage, no matter how weakened and distraught you feel, you already have the Spirit of God within you. Let it work. You've received the Spirit of God in your chrismation. You receive the body of Christ in the Eucharist. You have Him inside you already. Let Him look for you. Let Him protect you. Have hope. Have hope. Don't ever, ever lose hope. You're not the Samaritan woman. You're not Moses the Black. You are not the sinful woman who fell at the feet of our Lord. You are not the sinful tax collector who climbed the tree to see the Lord. You are none of these things. If you've made a mistake, it's nothing compared to these. And if these people can be forgiven, then we can be forgiven as well. We can be victorious. We can be free, and we can be free indeed. Take some time today to think about this. Take some time to think about what really weakens you. Take some time to think about how strong you would be with the presence of God, with His Spirit, with His freedom, and with His victory. And glory be to God forever. Amen. What I ask you to do is take a moment to put your heads down, close your eyes, and think about what you want. Just don't talk to anyone, just concentrate. Try to get something constructive out of what you need. Can you open up to page 22 now?
Okay, so it's page 22, it's my all in all. We're gonna start you guys off to give you a boost, but you guys are gonna have to take it from there. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Just so everyone can hear. Can you have a microphone in the other, please? Okay.
Yeah, sorry, very quick. I just don't want anybody to kill me, but if you're saying God is big dad and everything, so why does he let us go into the temptation in the first place? Why don't he take care of it right away?
He does. But the only thing is that God, because he loves us and he respects us so much, he created within us a free will. God could have killed a bunch of zombies. You know, yes, Master, we will enter your kingdom. Thank you very much. What does that mean? It means nothing. It means nothing for him to have us in his kingdom. But he actually gave us a free will. And although God may allow for us to enter into temptations, it's not that he tests us. It depends how you look at it.
I'm not just talking about like temptation when you're saying free will. I'm not saying like to take away free will, but I'm saying why does he let us go into a constant struggle all our lives and eventually sometimes go into a big hole, you know? Like why doesn't he just teach us a lesson quickly without having like some people have to struggle?
I don't think the problem is with him, but the problem is with us. It's not that he doesn't teach us, we don't learn. God tries to direct us. He really does. He picks you up and says, listen, over here. I have a... My car is rather famous around the world because I always tell people about my navigation system. And every time I look at this navigation system, it reminds me of God. Because what you do with the navigation system is you put in your destination, and it knows where you're going. And it gives you the best route. It gives you the best way to get there. Now, what happens if my navigation system tells me to go left and I should keep going straight? It doesn't get up and abuse you or shout at you or slap you in the head or do anything like that. All it does is it redirects because it knows where your destination is. It redirects and makes a fresh route for you to get to the same destination. And if you make that mistake once, twice, three times, 10 times, it'll just quite simply and quietly and peacefully redirect you again. It won't take control of the car and steer you, but it shows you very clearly how to get there. And God is like that. God will say to us, go left. And you keep going ahead. Okay, fine, let's take the next left. Okay, you missed that one. Let's go right up here. You use that one. And every time he will just redirect you again and again and again. Very patiently, very lovingly. He won't take control of your life because he can't. Not because he can't that you'll overpower him. He can't because he created that free will in you so that you make the choice. So that you make the choice. God creates for us in his kingdom and prepares a seat for every one of us. And he prepares it and puts our name on it, and he wants us to be there. But he will never grab us and forcefully put us into that chair. Because we don't want to be there. We haven't made any effort to be there. So, when we talk about falling into temptation, God's role is not to put us into these tests. God's role is to do what he did with Job, where he allowed Satan to tempt him, but he said to Satan, listen, this is your limit. I know my son, I know what he's capable of. Don't you even think about exceeding that limit, because that is how much he can look after. That's how much he can take. So God is actually there as a protector, not as someone who tests us. But it's us. We don't listen to his voice. We don't listen to his direction. We can't blame God for not directing us. He's directing us. He directs us through his word, through his scriptures, through his church, through his servants, through the fathers and priests, through people you meet in the street, through various things that happen around you. You look at how many times you see this stuff and it just doesn't have an effect.
So,
can you pass the microphone, please?
God, like, tests us, and then he knows, like, we're not strong enough to, like, you know some people, how they're more weak than others? And then, like, we're tested by God, but if we fail that test because we're, like, weak and we're not that strong, we're going to be sinning.
But God doesn't test us. God allows for us to be tested. God doesn't test us. When Satan went up to God and said, hey, this is your boy Job, you want me to show you that he can fall?
But
he will never put you in a position where you're strong enough. Because don't forget that God's our Father. God is not this the main driving instructor wants you to pass, he wants you to fail the test. He doesn't keep putting obstacles in your way and keep you doing ridiculous things. That's not what he wants. God is like your teacher who wants you to pass. So he will give you every possible means. Short of giving you the actual answer, he will give you every possible means to pass the test because he wants you to pass.
What happens if you can't see like everything that he's shown you? Like if God's trying to help you in a way but you just don't see it, then what happens to you?
You need to open your eyes. Because sometimes we live life so quickly that we don't look around us. And we don't look around us. Sometimes we fly through our lives and we don't concentrate on what's happening around us and we don't hear the voice of God, we don't see His presence, we don't see signs. And so if we focus on our presence with the Lord, and I've said this so many times so far, I keep saying, all it takes, if you can afford it, is 15 minutes a day. I'll give you one of these wonder cures, you know. 15 minutes a day, your spiritual life will move. It'll go up. Why? Is there 15 concentrated minutes with God? How much time do you spend with God each day? We don't spend any time. How are we going to get to know Him? How are we going to recognize His voice? How are we going to know what He wants of us if we don't know Him? Spend 15 minutes in the evening, just read a chapter out of the Bible, contemplate on your day, that day, how you've gone, how you've lived, how things are going with you. And then close it off with prayer. I guarantee you, if you do that every day, just that peaceful existence, just that calmness, just that relationship with God will allow you to hear His voice much closer, much more clearly.
Okay, so how come people, like certain people are tested so much harder than other people? Like, some people have to go through so much more suffering during their life than other people. Like, how is that fair? Why should people have to go through that?
It depends on kind of suffering. Well, I think we blame God too much for every kind of suffering we go through. Some of the suffering we go through is self-imposed. We do it to ourselves. Because we live the wrong kind of life, we do the wrong kind of thing. So we've got to differentiate what kind of suffering we're talking about. Is it suffering that is really permitted by God to make us stronger? Or is it suffering that I bring upon myself because I may mix with the wrong people, therefore I get into difficult situations, therefore I suffer and I lose, and it just spirals.
You bring it upon yourself, like shouldn't God try to help
you? He does. He does. I want you all to think about times when you have fallen. And they don't have to be very major sins. And really think whether, wasn't there a little voice in your head saying you shouldn't have done that? You know, wasn't there a sign around you saying, no, wrong way, go back? But we ignore it. We don't listen. There's somebody else. Yeah.
I understand that temptations are part of a lifestyle and it's a good problem because when you realize that, you know, there's something wrong, you know that you've been taught well, that there is something going right for you. But how in our daily lives can we sit down and like find the courage, or what can we do so that we not only seize temptations, but, you know, go out there and do something, or find the courage to constantly go and confess and repent without being scared or feeling ashamed?
You've got to stay focused. Stay focused on the destination. Look at the kingdom of God, that's where you want to be, and that's what you want to reach. And just being focused on that target, on that goal, will get you there much more safely. There's one story about St. Maximus and Demetrius. Have you heard of them? There were young men who went into the desert at a young age, and they became monks. And we're told that St. Macarius, the father of the desert there, went and spent some time with them. And he woke up one night and he found them praying. And the story tells us that he saw them kneeling and praying. And around them were demons and devils trying to attack me. And standing before them were the angels of God protecting me. And they were absolutely oblivious to what they didn't realize. They didn't see it. And so you'd be surprised when we're close to God, God takes so much stuff away from us every day. And you won't even notice it. You won't even realize it was there in the first place. There'll be various attacks and temptations and things that come upon you all the time. And God's hand is always just over you. It deflects all of these things. But if you run too far ahead, like a child who leaves his father's hand and runs ahead, he can't protect it. You run after him and try to hold his hand. But if he runs too far away, you're out of reach. So you can't be protected. So the important thing is, stay within reach of God. Don't let go of his hand. It's a great blessing and it's a great strength that we have to have the hand of God. Don't be. Sorry? He'll try, but again, he will not override free will. The thing is, we make such an issue of free will, and then we blame God for making us free.
No, but we're his children, he's not.
Yeah, but you tell that to yourself when your parents say, you can't let them, I'm old enough to do what I want. And God just tries to apply that in our lives. He really does make us free. And he wants us to choose. But like I said, there is always a safeguard, there's a safety net. When you have a child playing in front of, you know, his parents, and he goes up near a fire, there's only so far he will go before the parents will step in and try to pull him back. And God will do that with us as well. But if we insist on doing the wrong thing, then it's our choice. He's not going to be happy. He's not going to say, well, I told you so. But he's going to be very sad and thinking, well, I created this free will in you to make you good, not to make you bad, to make you free, not to make you a servant and captive. I gave you this free will to help you. Okay? I think we need to wrap it up. What time is it? Just let me check the time. What time do we need to wrap up? If I can suggest something, we've got a question and answer period today. So if there is anyone whose question I didn't answer, I've seen some hands up, you can do either two things. You can either meet me here now, after we finish, and we'll speak privately, or you can ask me during that question and answer period. To summarize, just so we don't walk out of here distracted. To summarize, we are free through Christ. Even if we have sinned and we are captive, we can overcome that captivity. We can become victorious over any enemy, because in Christ we can do all things. And God wants us with him, regardless of what sins we fall into, because he is able to cleanse us, he is able to purify us, and he is able to take us unto himself if we want to be there, glory to God for God.